At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He's a world champion wrestler, best-selling author, actor, and lead singer of Fozzy. Now he's rocking the podcast world.
Marvelous!
This is Talk Is Jericho. Talk Is Jericho, starring Chris Jericho.
Welcome to Talk Is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. The spell you're under will be broken by Chris Jericho. And guess what? It's Friday.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday.
That's right. The People's Podcast has arrived. Let's go for a ride with some S.O.S. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Those happy days, they seem so hard to find. I tried to reach for you, but you have closed your mind. Whatever happened to our love? I wish I understood. It used to be so nice, it used to be so good.
Come on!
Fugazi record, Do You Want to Start a War? People buzzing about it. People also talking about the whole record. The new video, Do You Want to Start a War, on YouTube now. Go check it out. It's got some hot chicks dancing. What more do you want? Plus, I'm in it. What more do you want, right? I'll tell you what more you want. You want Paige, WWE Divas Champ, on the show. She's here. You've been waiting for a long time. I get so many requests for Paige, not Paige. That's from a different part of the show. Paige is going to be here. Plus, my resident fish expert, Ash Irvin, is going to be here to talk about the Icelandic lake monster video that has just surfaced. See what I did there? On the net, experts are saying it may be the real deal. Doesn't matter what other experts say. We're going to find out what the only fish expert says. Ash is going to be here. Plus, he's going to answer all your questions. And also, on top of that, I want to thank you for being here on the show. I know you got hundreds, thousands of podcasts to schwoz from. Thank you so much for schwoz in mind. You know how much it means to me. Also, you know how much it means to me for you to use my links every time you shop at Amazon. It's the easiest way to support the show. And every time you use one of my Amazon links, Amazon kicks back a couple of buckolas to the show to help us cover the production costs, all right? And you know I got links for Amazon USA, Amazon Canada A, and Amazon UK, which is where I am right now. Just go to podcast1.com. Click on the Keep Our Podcasts Free banner at the top of the page, not page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. You get all kinds of cool stuff on Amazon. For instance, the new Fozzy record, Do You Want to Start a War? The new Five Finger Death Punch record, it's a two-parter. The Wrong Side of Heaven, The Righteous Side of Hell. I might have got that wrong. If I did, don't get on my butt. You know, the new Five Finger Death Punch. We heard Zoltan Bathory on the show earlier in the week. Great, great guy. Amazing story. You can check out all Five Fingers records on Amazon, or even better, my new book, The Best in the World at What I Have No Idea. Bestseller. I had a signing here in Liverpool. The book sold out an hour before I got there, which is very, very cool, but also a drag. Still had about 600 Jerichoholics standing in the pouring rain to come say hi, get their book signed. I thank each and every one of you. People are saying this is the favorite book out of the three I've written, the best in the world at what I have no idea. If you haven't read it, what are you waiting for, man? Go to Amazon and buy it. Listen, you can buy whatever you want, okay? It won't cost you anything extra. You got to buy stuff. You got to go shopping. Everyone's on Amazon once a week, twice a week. If you're going to do that, go through my links, okay? There's no hidden fees or extra challenges. So if you happen to be going through Amazon doing some shopping, please help out this show in the process. Just go to podcast1.com. Click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. Bookmark it so you can get to those links in one easy click. All right. Before we get to Ash the Fish Expert, got to tell you, the Cinder Block Party with Texas Hippie Coalition, Shaman's Harvest, and of course Fozzy starts 1 week from Thursday on November 20th at the Machine Shop in Flint, Michigan. This is an extensive tour. If you're in that area of the country, we are going all over the place, man. We're starting in Flint. Then the next day, Steger, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Des Moines, St. Louis, Rockford, Illinois, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Joplin, Missouri, Lubbock, Texas, Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, New Orleans, Destin, Florida, Jacksonville, Florida, Cape Coral, Florida, Gainesville, West Palm Beach, Orlando, St. Pete, Florida, the Tampa area on December 12th ends the tour. If you are in those towns or near those towns, you don't want to miss the greatest tour of the fall. You are going to have a great time. It's called the Cinderblock Party. It is a party when you come see Fozzy, when you come see the Texas Hippie Coalition, Shaman's Harvest. Go to FozzyRock.com for all ticket information, all VIP info. We have one of the best VIP programs in the world today. Ask any former Fozzy VIPs. And then next year, we're going over to the UK and Europe for the Cinderblock Party World Tour with the Dirty Youth. That's taking us everywhere, man. We're starting off March 4th in Belfast, Ireland, then Cork, Dublin, Nottingham, England, Wolverhampton, Manchester, Glasgow, Scotland, London, Bristol, Exeter, Southampton, Brighton. Then we're heading over to Paris on March 17th. We're going over to Switzerland, Pratteln. Yeah, that's March 18th. Munich, Germany, Mannheim, Bochum. All these dates, once again, at FozzyRock.com. Go check them out and come see us if you're around. You're not going to want to miss it. This is the tour that you are going to love for the rest of your life. I guarantee it. All right, we got WWE Divas Champ Paige on the way. But first, we're going to catch up with Ash, the fish expert, answering all your questions. All right, so we're here with the returning Ash, the fish expert. Always good to have you, Ash. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. So over the past couple weeks, there's been this footage
from what they're calling the Iceland's Loch Ness Monster. It's the Lagerflot Worm, also known as the Lagerflot Sommer. Now, if you haven't seen this, you can go on YouTube and check it out. So I want to watch the video with you, Ash, and I want you to tell me what you think this may be. So let's check it out. So we're going to the video. This is on YouTube. And you can see this long, winding, segmented, kind of a worm-type creature going through, looks like very icy, very cold water.
There are a few very important clues in this, such as the wind blowing in the camera. You could definitely hear wind. Mm-hmm. And there, if you look into the water, there are multiple objects floating in it, mm-hmm. along with the actual creature. And there's also a triangular-shaped head attached to this creature. And, I mean, that's a major clue for a snake, like possibly maybe even anaconda. But there's first...
Some kind of like a ice anaconda?
Possibly. But one of the key clues is that is the wind blowing in the camera.
So why is that a clue?
Because it obviously sounds like a very strong pushing wind. Mm-hmm. So that brings to life the evidence of, you know, that it could be just an object that a very loose, you know, like bit of dirt or, yeah.
Like maybe a fishing net or something?
Yeah, possibly a fishing net. But that...
Oh, interesting. So you're saying because the wind is blowing so loudly in the camera that could show that it could be propelling that object through the water.
Yes, it could definitely well being just a clump of dirt
that or ice been, maybe
yeah ice that's just well not ice because it's you can see it's moving
yeah that's the thing it's and it's like segmented it's, yeah, you it's, see it's moving like a snake
that's not the right word though segmented
serpentine like
yeah
it's
serpentine
like,
it's a and it's got like clumps of ice on it so you could tell it like it emerged it almost like emerged from the, just you know the bottom of the lake and collected bits and pieces of ice in it. And it's just, there's just bits and pieces of evidence that could lead to multiple, it could just be clumps of dirt, ice, or it could be something, an unknown species of anaconda that we don't know about, because that head, that just looks formidably like a huge anaconda. But I have one piece of information that might put that theory to rest.
What's that?
All snakes are cold-blooded. That means they can't produce their own heat.
Okay.
So they have to, say, lie in the sun to get energy, to move faster. And obviously it's in Iceland and it's the middle of the winter. Everything's frozen. There's ice all over. It means that this thing is either a worm or some unknown species because snakes would not be able to survive in that environment. And just the way it's moving, like it's... moving, I feel like it could just move as fast as it wants at any time, but this thing's going, you know, like cruising along. If a anaconda of that size was in the Iceland or lake, they wouldn't be moving, they'd freeze to death. They're just cold-blooded, so they can't make their own heat.
That's some very good points there, Ash. Yeah. So you're saying that you're not sure exactly what it is, but it can't be a snake, which is what it looks like, because snakes are cold-blooded. But also, too, your blowing wind theory was very well thought out, and you could be right about that. You have lots of fans here from your multiple appearances on Talk is Jericho. So we had put out a casting call. I said, if you have questions for Ash the Fish Expert, ask now. Use the hashtag AskAsh. So let's go and see what your fans wanted to ask you. At this cast girl wants to know, where is Ash's ultimate dream fishing spot?
Probably Australia. Like, either in the rivers that lead up through Australia. Someplace near the Great Barrier Reef. And I want to go kind of deep out, obviously.
Why is that? What kind of fish do you want to catch out there?
There are albacore out there. And there are also jacks. Like big jacks, and I mean I've caught jacks before. I caught little, like maybe a foot, but I mean they put up a fight that could have been a 2-foot fish.
Where did you catch that?
I just went pier fishing.
In Florida?
In Florida. Mm-hmm. And I caught 2 jacks, and each of them were just awesome fights. Great fights, and they look so cool when you see them in the water. They almost look like panfish, so you'll see them, like, almost, they're on their sides when they'll swim past you,
mm-hmm.
and they're on their side, and the sun hits them, it's like a mirror. It's really cool to watch them.
So are they bigger in the Great Barrier Reef? Or
They're big all around. I just caught some small Jack Trevelles. But, yeah, they get pretty big. They get, like, two feet.
What's in the Australian rivers that you want to catch?
Well, at high tide, water floods in through the rivers, and small sharks and fish get swept into the rivers. And I just like to see the mixture of fish that are in there.
Okay. Now, when Lauren Coleman was on Cryptozoologist, he mentioned the Amazon River Dolphin.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Explain what that is.
The Amazon River Dolphin is, I think, the only river dolphin or dolphin capable to thrive in a river. And they're pretty much at the top of the food chain because they eat piranhas and nothing really eats them except for humans.
Dolphins can eat piranhas?
Yes.
Wow. So piranhas don't go after dolphins?
No. The pink river dolphin. But an interesting fact about river dolphins is that they start their lives out gray, mm-hmm. like a grayish, almost white color.
Yeah.
And then slowly as their lives go on, they turn to pink.
Hmm. Why is that? Just genetics?
Because they eat crabs. They're like flamingos.
Oh, okay. So the crabs turn them pink.
Yeah.
You are what you eat, right?
You are, yeah.
Okay. Well, then we also have the next question for you. At I Am Team Jericho wants to know, what is Ash's favorite fish? A fish expert must have a favorite, right?
Yes. My favorite, it's a very beautiful fish. It's called a fairy clown wrasse. They live at coral reefs. They're also found at the Great Barrier Reef in mm-hmm. Australia. So I'd also like to go to Australia to dive at the Great Barrier Reef because of the beauty. But they come in all different colors, like 2 to 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a fairy clown wrasse. They're just beautiful creatures.
Wow. Okay, so you actually have to learn how to dive first before you can go diving, unless you just talk about snorkeling, right? Okay, then we have at Ruby Believe wants to know, when you hear the word fish, what's the type of fish that instantly pops into your mind?
Albacore. For some reason.
Okay. There you go. Quick answer. At 143MBY2J wants to know, hey Ash, what's the most dangerous fish that anyone can find in random lakes around where they live?
Probably a snakehead. They're poisonous creatures that can literally go up on land and get... They can live on land for up to, like, 3 hours.
Wow.
And they walk across the pavement.
Now, what makes them dangerous?
They're poisonous, and they have virtually no predators.
Hmm. Are they the ones that kind of take over lakes when
yes.
They're kind of... They're
invasive species.
Right. They're not from this country.
They're not from this country. They're from South America.
So somebody brought one over and dumped it into a lake, and then they took over?
And then reproduced so fast, and they got out. They just walked out of the lake and made it to other lakes and just spreading across America.
So is there a problem now with the snakeheads?
Yes, it's a problem. Just like if you have a sort of swampish, sort of shady area and you mm-hmm. see every once in a while bubbles on the surface and ripples, like a bunch of little ripples on the top of the water. And if you have a dog, I recommend highly do not let any animals or any children into the water.
Okay. Do they bite you?
They bite you, and I'm pretty sure they're poisonous.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And they're very aggressive. And those little ripples, those are the offspring.
Do you know the little ripples that follow behind them or something? Or
no, the little ripples that just go to the surface.
Oh.
And the mom and dad, the male and female, just patrol the area within like a 10-foot radius.
Okay. So you want to watch out for that?
Yeah.
Mostly in Florida or...
They're everywhere. Southern states, yeah. Mainly southern states.
At Mittens, which is funny because that's the name of our cat, says, does Ash, well, basically, what does Ash want to do when he grows up?
I'd like to be a marine biologist and be a part-time hockey player.
Like Gordon Gekko?
Yeah.
Is that his name? No, what was his name? Gordon? What was his name in Mighty Ducks?
Gordon, I forget.
Whatever his last name was.
Yeah, Gordon something.
Be a minor league hockey player?
Yeah.
Okay. What's a fish scientist?
A marine biologist. No, ichthyologist, sorry.
Ichthyologist. When I tell people you want to be an ichthyologist, no one knows what that means.
Yeah. They're like, what?
At I'm Dark J wants to know, what kind of fish do you dislike?
I dislike Oscar cichlids. I had one when I was younger. It literally killed all of my fish in my tank, and it just got so big, and it didn't even eat the fish. It just killed them for the fun of it.
What was it called?
A tiger Oscar.
What was the first word you used? Oscar?
Cichlid. Oscar. Tiger Oscar. I think it was tiger Oscar cichlid.
Cichlid. Wow. So yeah. They just ate all your other fish.
Ate all my other fish. For anybody who's got lots of little tiny fish or just fish in general and they want to get a tiger Oscar cichlid, don't. That's my suggestion. Don't.
Okay. Take that to heart. Here's an interesting one. At JBL Cena Fan wants to know, are hermit crabs actually related to normal crabs and are they edible?
Yes to the first one. And coconut crabs, which are kind of like hermit crabs, are edible.
Oh, have you ever tried one?
No, but I know they are edible. I'm not sure if the hermit crabs are edible.
So hermit crabs, well, they're probably so small, right?
Yeah, they're small, and I don't think they taste good.
But they're related to normal crabs?
Yes.
Okay. At Frank FOJ asks you, what's your favorite freshwater fish?
My favorite freshwater fish?
That's a tongue twister.
Yeah.
My favorite freshwater fish. My favorite freshwater fish.
Would have to be a red-tailed catfish / banana catfish. They are really cool fish. They live in the Amazon River. They live towards like Asia, South America, and places like that. They're really cool fish. They're really bulky. Mm-hmm. Their heads are like their entire 60% of their body weight comes from their skull, which is super thick. And they grow at about like 5 feet, so as tall as,
okay,
you know, almost me.
Yeah, so they're pretty big fish, and they're only freshwater fish.
Yeah, they're freshwater fish.
All right, and then the last question is from at WWE Fan, wants to know, what is the most difficult fish to catch, and why?
The most difficult fish to catch? Well, in my journey to catch a northern pike, I found out that they are extremely difficult to catch.
Tell us about the northern pike. Where have you tried to fish for them?
I've tried to fish at Lake Vermilion.
In northern Minnesota?
In northern Minnesota and other lakes around it. And I've had no luck whatsoever. I've tried pretty much every single technique there is to catching a northern. Never even seen one in the lake.
And how big are the northerns?
They get to like 3 feet. Northern pikes, they're aggressive, but they're not as big. They don't grow nearly as big as a muskie. Mm. Muskies are like the next level up of a northern pike, and they get really big. I've caught a muskie, but I've not caught a northern pike.
What did you use for bait?
I was using like a 6-inch lure. That's a pretty big lure for a fish.
Mm-hmm.
But I caught a 52-inch muskie.
Yeah, you got the picture of that up on your wall.
Yeah.
Do you know there's a Canadian band called the Northern Pikes? All right, one last question from at I Am Darcy. Could Chuck Norris body slam a killer whale?
I don't know, Chuck. You might have to watch out for that. I'm on the whale side. # whaling. Woo!
All right, Ash. Well, good job as always. And hopefully, I mean, you know, you got to keep trying for that northern pike. And one of these days, I'm sure you'll catch one. Is that your ultimate goal right now?
For my childhood, yes.
All right, Ash. Well, your fans came out in droves to ask you these questions. You got any last messages for them?
# Ash the Fish Expert. Woo! Yeah!
All right. Another fine performance from Ash the Fish Expert. And remember, If you see any snakeheads, do not go in the river at all. Stay away from them and stay away from those Oscar siptids or whatever he was talking. Cichlids. What?
Cichlids.
Talk is Jericho.
All right, we're in the suites. We're up in the big leagues here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania with Paige.
Hello.
It's good to talk to you, Paige. It's funny because I said that people have been asking, when are you going to have Paige on your show? And I was maybe. And suddenly just like all these people tweeting, well, we want Paige. Yeah. So I text just like the people have spoken. We have to give them what they want.
Yes, you did.
So it's cool to have you here. And we actually met... I don't know, 4 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. It was that...
5 years ago?
Yeah, you were like touring around with Fozzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you played in Norwich. And
The waterfront.
The waterfront, yeah. So then I was like, oh, we're going to take a bunch of people because obviously we're all wrestling fans. So we're like, oh my God, it's Chris Jericho. Uh-huh. This is great. So then like we went and we liked your band anyway, but it was my mom's birthday too.
Uh-huh.
And we were at the front and then you sang happy birthday to her. But then after the show... I guess your manager was like, oh, you want to come backstage and meet Chris Jericho? And I'm like, fuck yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I was like, wait, I don't want him to think I'm like some like groupie rat person. So then I was I'm going to bring my mom back with me. So yeah. I brought my mom back with me because I didn't want you to think I was some kind of groupie. But yeah, that's why I'm
But I remember that too. I remember you and your mom coming back.
Yeah.
And your mom introduced herself because your mom is a wrestler also.
She is, yeah.
And your mom's wrestling name is Soraya,
yes.
Which is actually your name
as well.
Yeah,
this is my real name, yeah.
Yeah, so it was quite funny because... Your family is a wrestling family, much like the Harts or the Von Erichs or the Armstrongs or even, I guess, the McMahons.
Yes.
So you were kind of destined to be in wrestling right from the start.
Actually, yeah. I was actually wrestling as a fetus, believe it or not, because my mom was pregnant with me. She didn't realize. And Robbie Brookside can back me up on this because he was the one who gave my first bump when I was a fetus. So, yeah, she didn't realize she was pregnant and he like gorilla pressed her. Like from the ring onto the outside, onto like my dad or something like that. But then like a month later, she's like, oh, well, can't do that anymore. I've been knocked up for the last 7 months, you know? So, yeah.
For 7 months?
She didn't know for 7 months? Dude, she's so small. Like she was smaller than me at some point. So when she got pregnant, no one even knew. Like with my brother and everything, like she was tiny. But then she just like ballooned out. And she got big the last couple of months. It's crazy. It's so weird. But
so you actually were like a developed fetus at that point.
I was a developed fetus. Yeah,
you were just a bean.
Yeah, I was wrestling before I was born. So there you go.
Wow.
This is meant to be. It's my destiny.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So your mother, go through the whole list of the wrestlers in your family with their names. Your mother is Soraya Knight.
Yeah, Soraya Knight. My dad's Ricky Knight. Mm-hmm. And then my brother's is Roy Knight and Zach Knight.
Wow.
My sister wrestled too. She doesn't anymore. And now my nieces and nephews are getting into it. My granddad was a referee and my uncle was a wrestler called Black Magic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not to be confused with Black Magic Norman Smiley, one of your trainers.
I wish Norman Smiley was my uncle, but, you know.
So let's talk a little bit about English wrestling and British wrestling. I never wrestled in England per se, but I did wrestle in Germany with a lot of guys from England. Robbie Brookside, Doc Dean, Johnny South, Drew McIntyre. There was a whole kind of gaggle of English guys. Mm-hmm. So I kind of know a little bit about how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So your parents have been working over there, kind of independent scene. Is it with Brian Dixon as the guy? One
Brian
of the guys?
Dixon, yeah. Dad has his own company there. He has WAW.
He?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah. WAW. It's the World Association of Wrestling.
Okay.
And he has, actually, I'm not going to pimp him out right now because he does have a gym. And he does have a training facility. So, you know, if you can contact him, if you want to learn how to wrestle properly, then you should go
Of course. Where do you contact him? Is there like a website or something?
There's a website. You can go www.uk.com.
Okay.
Or you can get by his number, but you can get everything off that website.
So. And so how long have they been wrestling for?
Oh, my gosh. My dad's been wrestling for about 25 years, maybe over that.
Yeah.
Maybe 26, 27 years. And then my mom's like been like 22 years or something like that. My brother's... Like, as the kids, we all started, like, super young, like, around 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've all been doing it for, like, over a decade. So, all of us, even though we're, like, fragile little children.
So, are you the baby?
I'm the baby.
In the family?
Yeah.
So, you grew up in the business. So, tell us, like, when you were, like, little, like, 4 or 5 or 6, did you go to the matches and watch your parents?
I would go all the time. Like, my mom and dad would take me everywhere with them. But then it got to the point where I was like, oh, I just want to be with my friends. And, like,
mm-hmm.
around 11 to 12 or whatever, I was like, I'm just going to stay at home. So I'd stay at home by myself, all of the go wrestling, have house parties.
And then and your parents went home.
Yeah, but then they'd find out and come back, and I'd be like a drunken mess in the middle of the floor.
At 12?
Yeah, seriously, wow. It was bad.
Wow.
I got over that pretty quickly because yeah. I started wrestling. But yeah, I was a drunken
mess. Did you work in the was it the family business? Did your dad have a promotion back then too?
Yeah, he's had the promotion for like way over 20 years.
Okay, so because yeah. I know like Bret Hart used to sell programs and yeah. popcorn and t-shirts. Were you involved in the family business as well?
Yeah, so like at the shows, if I wasn't wrestling, I'd be in the merchandise, behind the merchandise, or I'd be the one giving out the leaflets outside to try and get people to come into the show.
Mm.
Or, you know, so I'd be doing that kind of stuff, helping them advertise and that, and then wrestle on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like they throw me in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot. Kind of stuff.
Did your dad train you?
Yeah, he did.
Dad and mom?
Yeah.
So when you were first working, what was your wrestling name?
My wrestling name was Brittany Knight because this is my dad came up with it. When I was younger, I like dyed my hair blonde. I didn't wear makeup, so I looked like Britney Spears. So that's where that came from. But yeah, so I've been wrestling since then. But wrestling is very important to my dad too. I remember, this is a funny story. So like I would say I was about 14 or something like that, and I was like playing outside on my bike or whatever, and we had like a show in the nighttime, and I got hit by a car like
wow.
outside my house.
Oh no!
And I got like literally like hit by a car, and then I remember like I was like bloody, it was horrible, and then my dad was like, "Can you wiggle your toes?" I'm like, "Yeah." He was like, "Great, we've got a show to go to. Get dressed." I was like, "Dad, I got hit by a car. I need to go to the hospital." He's like, "Right, let's get dressed. We have to go. You're fine." I was like, "Oh my
god." No compassion whatsoever, right?
It toughens you up. It toughens you up.
So when did you start training? How old were you?
13. Wow. So I started training and had my first match at 13 too.
It's amazing how most wrestlers from the UK started at 13, whether it's Regal or Brookside or yeah. Davey and Dynamite, or even the guys, you know, TJ and Harry and the guys yeah. from Calgary. So young. Like, you could never start that young here. You know, you'd have to sign a waiver or wait till you're 16 yeah. or 18 or something.
It's kind of like a gypsy kind of family. Like, we're right. all kind of gypsy little Connie people. So, like, as soon as, like, my dad gets into wrestling, like, it becomes a family thing. Like, I guess British people are very, like, family-orientated.
Right.
So, like, anything they do, they're like, oh, let's get the kids involved. So, yeah, we start early. So now all my nieces and nephews are doing it, and they're, like, super young. They're like younger than
you were. Yeah. So when you were young, was there certain guys or girls in the UK wrestling scene that you looked up to? Like, yeah, what were some of the names that were there?
Well, you know, I always looked up to Klondike Kate.
Now she's yeah. a famous female
yeah,
wrestler.
Yeah, famous. There was
older, right?
Yeah, yeah. She's like, she was a veteran back then. She's a veteran now. Like, obviously, my family, I've always looked up to them. But then there'd be people like Johnny Saint, like Danny Boy Collins, who I thought was amazing. I love Danny Boy.
Sure. The classic guys like that.
Yeah, yeah, like all those type of guys, like, I really looked up to.
Did you ever see anything like Rollerball Rocco?
Oh, Rollerball Rocco.
Rollerball Rocco. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, because we still have it on our TV. So we'd have like all the old school wrestling on there. And I remember seeing Fit on there.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so like we'd watch it on there, but yeah.
How crazy is Johnny Saint?
Oh, he's incredible though. He's yeah. crazy, but he's incredible. Yeah.
I mean, not crazy. I don't yeah. know him, but crazy watching him in the
yeah,
ring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, not a lot of people have seen him, but he does the most ridiculously smooth reversals and transitions that if you don't see it, it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
He's just like a normal looking guy.
It looks very easy. He makes it look very easy, but when he yeah. trained with us, like I can't get this. This
yeah.
is the toughest thing I've ever done. And he just makes it so smooth and so slick, and I'm like, I can't do that. I'm
Everybody plug. Tries it and it never looks as good. I remember trying something, it's like, it just yeah. looks
like,
crappy.
Ooh,
it looks
like yeah.
If you guys want to check it out, go on YouTube. I'm sure you can find some Johnny Saint stuff. It's just, it's incredible. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
But that's, there is an English style of wrestling that's different from anywhere else in the world. You know, yeah. like actual wrestling, I think, like
yeah,
chain wrestling and
different.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, it's very different. We call it ins and outs in England.
Actually. Ins and outs?
Like chain wrestling. So there's a lot of the words are completely different when I first came over here. Mm-hmm. And that's something I had to get used to. But yeah, we'd call it ins and outs. But it's very different. Like, a lot of the stuff that I did with the girls, they had no clue what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the American stuff they were doing, I was like, I have no clue what you're doing. Like, this is different for me. Like, an O'Connor roll. I didn't know what it was till I came over here.
What did you call it?
I didn't know what
Oh, you
it
never
was.
Had
yeah,
it? Okay.
I never did an O'Connor roll before. I'm like, wow, this is weird. But
did you ever call it international?
I went international, but ours is different. Ours is different.
Well, the international over there is...
So it would be like a wrestling sequence, right?
Right. Like yeah. a spot. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be like headlock, send in, and then we'd call it a check instead of tackle.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd get them back in the headlock again, send them off. And then it'd be like a drop down, which we'd call a sleep, and then another check. And then that would end in like a sleep vault hip toss. Oh, sleep leap. It doesn't. See, I still have to get
so a leapfrog is still a leapfrog, right?
Yeah. Oh, we call it a vault.
A vault. Okay.
Yeah. It's really, so these are things I had to get used to. So anytime I speak to girls, they'd be like, what are you saying? I'm like,
I remember when I first went to Hamburg, I met Boston Blackie was his name. Yeah. And he said, are you a villain or a blue eye?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Are you a villain or a blue eye? And I could figure out what villain meant, but I had no idea. What's a blue eye?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's a baby face. And I learned all this stuff, like a blue eye. I'd never heard of that before
yeah,
in my life.
Yeah, it's so different, right?
You know?
It's crazy.
Well, how about Cockney slang?
Oh, that Cockney rhyme. My dad speaks in pure Cockney rhyme and slang.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, like legit. Like, I've only like just realized what he's saying over these past years, but he'd always be like, talking about boat races, claret. Claret means blood. So he's like, no one understands.
Okay, well, boat race. So Cockney slang is it's kind of a, you take a word that rhymes with another, like boat race is face.
Yeah.
What is claret?
I don't know the full word. I just know Dad says it a lot. It means blood.
It's probably like claret and mud or something. Like
yeah,
some rhyming thing.
Something silly like that, and then it would be like blood.
Okay.
So, and then like...
Scotch eggs or legs.
Yeah, scotch eggs or legs. Apples and pears are stairs. That kind of thing.
Syrup and fig is wig.
Wig, yeah. You know, I love it.
Yeah, I used to speak pretty good. Regal would always live to this day. You might see someone look at the syrup on that guy.
Oh, yeah. My dad goes with syrup all the time.
Syrup is like one of those really bad wigs.
I really want my dad to be on like a podcast one day and then no one will understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have to translate for him all the time. Like, even to British people, they're like, what is he saying? And he's like got a really deep, like rough voice as well. So I'm like...
Yeah, because it's a real kind of a secret term.
Yeah.
The other one was go for a Donald, which is a Donald Duck, which is a sexual thing, which I'm sure you can figure out. Oh, I took the go with...
Or a tummy tank.
A tummy tank.
Which is, you know...
Pleasuring yourself. Yeah, I took the go with a nice scotch eggs for a Donald.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what does that even mean? But yeah, it's cool to... When you go there from coming from Canada, going over there and hearing all that, it was really interesting and cool. For you coming from England to the States, what were some of the things that were new for you that you hadn't heard? Like you mentioned...
just like the different... all the wrestling moves completely different. And then the culture's different. Like everything is so different compared to England. Like it's just too much to even describe.
Because you moved over here on your own. Because you're 22 now?
Yeah.
Right. So when you came, you were 20?
No, I was just turned 19.
Wow.
Yeah, when I came over here. Yeah.
I'm surprised that the company even signed you that early on.
I know. Hey, there's JoJo. Come on,
JoJo.
No, she's like 12.
I think Kelly was 19 when she first signed too, so they have done that
before. They've had like a lot of youngins, but they haven't done it in like a while.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, I guess I was very lucky, but I had like two tryouts, and the first one I didn't get signed.
So let's go back a bit. So you're working in England with your family.
Yeah.
You're doing independent. Did you ever go like the Butlins and all that stuff?
Oh, I did.
Holiday camps.
Yeah, I actually went traveling like across the world by myself by the time I was 14. Yeah.
By wrestling?
Yeah. So I'd go to like Norway, Denmark, Italy, Germany, Belgium, France, Turkey.
You're
America.
Kidding.
Yeah.
At 14?
Yeah. I just started. That's when I started. So my first trip was to Norway and that was at 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
With your mom or?
No, by myself. Yeah, I would do it all by myself.
Would they send you out to other promoters or?
The promoters, like I'd do this thing, like when I was younger, I'd like send out like a lot of CVs because I was like, I want to make it in wrestling. Like this is my passion. This is what I want to do. So I wrote a CV of all the stuff I did. It wasn't very much.
CV is like a resume.
And like it took a while, but they didn't really buy it first. Like you're a kid, like blah, blah, blah. But in the end, like my dad got me the Norwegian promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Like he got me the first promotion I went to. So then that on my CV, it helped. And then on my resume, and then I continually went out, and then I started getting more bookings, and then I was like, I was touring all the time, like every week I'd be in a different country. Like my dad would be like, wait, where are you this weekend? I'm like, I don't know, like Italy or something. It was good, it was fun.
That's amazing to think at that young of an age going over there and just showing how things are so much different in Europe. To be 14, you can go travel on your own. Mm-hmm. I mean, where would you stay when you went to like Norway?
Like they would have, like I had the good friends over there. So some places I'd have friends, I'd stay at their houses or they'd get me a hotel or something like that. Like they pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, I will not get out of bed if you do not pay for my hotel, my gas, my flight. Like, you know, like I was very like, no, I'm not paying. Like if you want me, you'll take me.
Wow.
You know?
And how I've never been, I don't think we've ever been as a company, WWE, to Norway or
no,
those companies are not very big wrestling there.
Oh no, it is. that's
oh, wow.
So, like, there's, like, one wrestling company over there, which is NWF. Like, it's a fantastic company, and they always sell. Like, there's so many people that go there, and, like, there's so many wrestling fans. Like, it always packs out. I'm like, why do we not, like, go out of there? Like, it's a right. great market. Like, to any Scandinavian country, actually.
We've been to,
like,
Finland once yeah. or twice. I've been to Finland once. Mm. I can't remember going to Denmark or Sweden mm. or Norway, any of those places.
Yeah, I feel like we should definitely go out there. It'll be a good
help. Oh, so you were going out there at 14. Did you have to lie about your age at all? Or?
No, actually, I was all right. No, I
they
never
just,
lied.
No about one cared. No. It's like you're 14 and it's all right.
No, it's good because, like, I'd send them clips of my wrestling and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, she's pretty decent for a 14. And there wasn't a lot of girls back then, even uh-huh. like now there's like tons of female wrestlers, but like then there wasn't many. So, and it's good to bring in like an international person,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So, like, having a British girl on your Norwegian show or your Turkish show is like a good thing. So
wow, so you were working all these different places,
mm-hmm.
and then so you mentioned that you had a tryout. How did that come about?
Right, so like there was a guy called Drew McDonald.
Yes,
and yeah, he was like a talent scout, right? And I actually knew him. But he was friends with my dad. But the thing is, he was like, I will not give your daughter a trial if she's not good enough. Hmm. Like, he was very, like, he was just like, she's not good. I'm not going to give it to her. I'm not doing, like, these friends' benefits. Like,
was there some political issues between the two, maybe, or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they were good friends, maybe. I don't know. Like,
over the years in England, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of stabbing and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to give your daughter a tryout then,
yeah.
you know?
But yeah, so he came to like a show, and I was actually in a match with my mom and dad. Like, it was a mixed tag match. It was me and, like, I think Martin Kirby against my mom and my dad on an RDW show.
Mm-hmm.
And he come, and he was just like, I like you. Like, and I was like, cool. And then he was just like, I'm going to give you a tryout. And I was literally like, gobsmacked. I was like, what? And he was like, it's not guaranteed, like, I can put your name in or whatever, just get me like pictures, your resume, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh my god, like, I was freaking out. I was like, no way. And I was like 18, and I was like, yeah. So he like sent me an email and was like, okay, you're guaranteed a trial, come in. Like, it was November 2010.
Was this at the O2?
It was at the O2. It was in London, yeah. And it was November 2010. But I tried to be a diva. So I came in, I was just like, right, I have to be tanned. I have to take out my piercings. I have to dye my hair bright. I have to wear color. Like, this is what they want. This is what I have to give them.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there, and it was a disaster. Like,
red reels?
It was, yeah. It was rotten. It was like two thumb under the armpits rotten. It was really bad. But,
red
yeah.
reels of rotten is cotton in Cockney slang.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
You have to explain to the peeps.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I didn't get... And plus, they were like, I wasn't, I guess... I don't know how to explain it. Like, they said something like...
From a look standpoint or yeah. a work... So you didn't look like the diva that they wanted?
Yeah, they were just like...
So when you were trying to look like a diva...
They didn't like
you. You didn't look like a diva.
No, yeah, exactly. They were just like, okay, like, I mean, you're pretty, you're just not.
Yeah. That. You're not the Barbie doll yeah, thing that we're looking for at the time, right?
So I was like, heartbroken. I was like, oh my God. Like,
that hurt your feelings?
Enough. Yeah, I'm like, I feel ugly and blah, blah, blah. But I was like, you know what? If I have a tryout next time, like, this is going to make me work harder. So I was like, I'm going to go as myself, and if they don't like it, they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, unless, like, yeah, I'm going to keep trying.
Right.
But, so, yeah, and then...
Who was watching you when you did your tryout?
Oh, so it was actually Johnny Ace, John Laurinaitis. He was the one who was the guy, and he's amazing now. He's lovely. Yeah. Like, he helps me completely. But
but if you look who was there diva-wise in that time, it was your Kelly, Maurice, yeah. Eve, Bellas, like all these real kind like of
models.
Conventionally model pretty girls.
Like
right.
cookie cutter, like supermodel, beautiful right. girls. Right, and I get that. So I was like, okay, like I'm just an 18-year-old trying to be like this, but whatever, like mm-hmm. I'll do it again. And so... They wrote to me again and was like, okay, we want you to come to like the tryout in April the next year. So I was like, oh my gosh, like they give me another chance. Okay, right, fine. Like, and you know, like I was getting in shape. Like I went back to the way I was, like how I am now, pale, like disgustingly pale, piercings, like a hot mess really. And I was the only girl trying out.
Hmm.
I was the only girl. And there was literally like 15 guys, one of them being my brother. And then we were all, like, the ones who were running it was Jamie Noble and Dustin Goldust.
Mm-hmm.
And Ty Bailey at the time was the scout. So, yeah, like, we all had to, like, stand around the ring and then just tag in and out. But, like, they liked me and my brother beating the crap out of each other, like, so much that Jamie was like, tag yourself in. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get heat. Like, what do we do? Like, I can't just, like, take over this trial. I was like, you know what? And, like, this big jack guy comes to the corner. I just, like, boom, and, like, tag myself in. And then me and my brother were just, like, knocking lumps out of each other.
Did you guys say beforehand, like, let's try and get in there together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just like, we need to get into, because, like, we train together. Yeah.
Right. You know each other, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, we're not scared to, like, punch lumps out of each other because we're so used to it. Brother and sister, of course, we want to beat the crap out of each other. But, like, Dustin and Jamie were just, like, they were laughing so hard, but in a good way, and they're just like, yeah, like, beat each other up, okay, like, Soraya, like, start getting up and start hitting them, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, this is great. And then after the tryout, so we're doing it like for like 2 hours, no jokes, 2 hours straight. And me and my brother was in there for, I'd say, like 3/4 of the time. So I was like sweating bullets. It was, but then Dustin was like, okay, like after the, he was like, I just want to show you some stuff. So he was like training me for like 10 minutes, which was like mind blowing. I was like, oh my gosh, like Gold Dust is like training me right now.
He probably wanted to go in there and see what else. He probably liked what you did, but let's see what she can do with someone that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
And he was like tweaking a lot of my stuff that he said, okay, like you can do this, but maybe try it like this. And I was like, oh yeah, thank you. And like my mind was like blown. My ovaries was exploding. Like it was pretty brutal, but it was like awesome. So then we got back into the locker room, and then like Drew comes in and he was like, all right, you and you aside, and he pointed to me, and I was like, oh my god,
that quickly?
Yeah, it was
wow.
Like, I lost my mind. Like I was like, because they didn't do that before, they've never done that, like and like out of all of them, I was the only one that lasted. Sorry,
say it again. What happened? What?
I was the only one that lasted. All the rest are gone. But yeah,
wow.
I completely lost my mind, and like I caught, my mom was there, she came to the tryout. And she was like crying, and then like I called my dad and my other brothers, and they were like screaming down the phone. I was like, I did it. Like it was.
How was it for your brother though?
Oh man. You know what? I felt so freaking terrible. Like,
yeah.
Just cause like it was his dream for a lot longer as well, because he started when he was 9 and he's like a year older than me, but he is, that's like, that's him. Like he knows every entrance. He knows every wrestling move. Like the wrestlers that a lot of people don't know, he knows. Like he literally lives, breathes wrestling. Like that's him. So he was like really sad. He was very proud of me, like don't get me wrong, he was very very happy for me, but at the same time he was like so gutted. He was just like, his face dropped, and I was like, and he tried out and he kept trying out, and I hope one day like him and my brother Roy get signed, because they're both amazing talents. But like, yeah, I mean, I still feel like now like I'm doing it, and he's proud of me, and he says it's not like, but he's like, it's fine, I have like a kid and I'm married and blah blah, blah. But I'm just like, it's still like,
it happens in wrestling families. I mean, like I said, I know it happened with Eddie, because Eddie came into the WWE and his brothers never came in the they were never there, and would used to kind of not put the screws to him, but kind of try and make him feel guilty at times, because Eddie was top star here, and he's like, oh, you think you're some kind of hot shot, you think you don't stink. He's like, no, I'm just me. But that's kind of sometimes you know, you wonder, like you said, it was my dream and then he got it, him.
But he's actually so supportive. He
that's
was never
great.
Like my family are like the most support, like they
fully, that's great.
Yeah, my dad's Facebook is like a shrine to me. Like his header, he's like fans are adding him on Facebook because they think it's me, because like the whole profile is just page. So yeah.
And how about with your mom?
Oh yeah, she's proud. She still wrestles too, so she comes over to America like twice a year, so I see her. But yeah, she's incredibly proud. And plus, like, we don't have like a huge age gap between me and my mom, so she's like my best friend. So we do like everything together. I tell her everything. Like it's weird how much I tell her.
But that's good though. All right, here we go, mom. All right, we're in the suites. We're up in the big leagues here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, with Paige. So you get signed.
Yep.
And how long was it before you actually came over to the States?
8 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so really, like, it took 8 months to get over here because of my visa. And they said, you can come before Christmas, but then you'll be here for a week, and then you'll like, get to go home again. Or you can just come after Christmas, and then, like, it'll be New Year's Day, and then you just start from there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, well, I want to start on New Year's Day. Like, it's incredible. So, yeah, I come New Year's Day of 2012.
So, I mean, I know when I was 19, I moved from Winnipeg to Calgary by myself, left everything I knew behind, all my friends, gathered what I could take in my car, and drove out there to start this new life. Yeah. And it's scary because
it's very scary.
Even though you're signed, you're leaving everything. And for you weren't just leaving a city. You're leaving a whole country behind.
Yeah, country, family, friends, everything. But you can actually see a little bit of this journey because we did like a documentary leading up to it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was. It's actually on YouTube. It's it won like awards and stuff.
Wow.
It's called The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family. So if you watch it, it's like 45 minutes long, but it shows like us before the tryout, after the tryout.
You did this yourself?
No, like we got followed by like an actual professional like documentary team. And it legit won awards in England for the
best
documentary.
What's it called?
The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family.
The Wrestlers Fighting With My Family.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good documentary, you know, but...
You check that out. Check out the Johnny Saint video and then check that out.
Yeah, check that out too. I'm like pimping him out.
Yeah, please.
But yeah, you could see me at the airport and I'm like in tears. Like my dad's not a crier, but he was like crying his eyes out. I had like a bunch of people like saying goodbye to me. It was really depressing. It was like me walking through the airport with my hood up like, you know.
How did you feel?
You know what? It was like a mixed thing. It's like bittersweet. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I get to go live my dream, but look what I have to give up.
The sacrifice.
Yeah, the sacrifices you make, but all the sacrifices are worth it because, you know, like friends come and go, but my family are always going to be there as well. So like, and we speak to each other all the time. And even if I don't speak to them in like a week, like we'll catch up on Skype and stuff like that. So
you go over to Orlando and when you land.
Tampa.
Right. Yeah. FCW at the time. Yeah. You land at the Tampa airport. Is there someone to pick you up, or do you just have to take a taxi, or how did it go?
No, luckily we knew someone just because like I was working beforehand, right? So I met people, and there was a woman called Lexi Fife who was a wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she was a sweetheart. She picked me up from the airport. She let me stay at hers for like 2 weeks. She got my social security. She got like, because I wasn't getting paid yet, like I was borrowing money. Like she got me my apartment. She sorted all my bills out. She legit like... mummed me for like 2 weeks and then she was like, okay, flee the nest, and like she like put me in my apartment. But it was she was an absolute star. Like without her, I don't know what I'd do. Like I have no clue how to get social security. I don't know how to get a driver's license. Like I didn't know anything.
So the company didn't hook any of that up for you?
You know, like they give you like the check or whatever, like they give you the money. It's just like, okay, you have to do this. Like, but I like it because it's just like, hey, if I want this, like I need to work hard for it, you know. So it, like, at the same time, it was a pain in the ass, but it was just like, no, this means I'm working really hard for what I want, you
right
know?
Off the bat, you gotta fend for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of put me in that position where I defend for myself. So I was like, okay, well, this makes me grow up pretty quickly. Like,
did you have to fly yourself over?
No.
Okay, they flew you over.
They pay for my visa, everything. So.
And it's funny because I remember going to Japan the first time right before I turned 21. It was 1990, I guess, and had no visa, no idea who was picking me up, no idea. But I had $200 in my pocket and got off the plane just like, I hope someone picks me up. I'm in freaking Narita Airport. I don't know anything. And that's – but it's like, here you go, buddy. You want to do this? Go do it.
Yes, and that's perfect. I recommend they do that to like everyone.
Right.
Like I think that's a great idea.
Because you're not just learning in-ring experience, you're learning life experience. Which hardens you to deal with all of the ups and downs of this job.
Yeah, luckily like I already lived by myself. Like I lived in Norway by myself for a year.
At
like,
14?
I was like 15, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then like with a boyfriend.
Yeah.
But I was basically living over there. And then when I come home, like my parents had a bar, so I'd live in the bar by myself. Like, so I was used to doing this by myself, but I wasn't used to being like, I need to pay bills. I need to do all this kind of stuff. I need to like sort my life out. I need to grow up.
Yeah.
So yeah, that bit sucks. Like now I have to pay for bills and stuff. Like I hate that. I get like tons of envelopes through the freaking door all the time.
But you're you have that old soul mentality. It's like you can tell you're wise beyond your years because the way that you grew up.
I blame that on my parents. They brought me up well. I'm very lucky.
So describe, like you mentioned how things were different in the ring. First day of camp, you show up. Tell us about that.
The girls were very nice to me.
They weren't?
No.
Why? Because I mean, she talks funny.
No, it was just like, you know, I don't know, it's like being like the first day at actual like school. Like people don't know you, they're trying to fill you out. And like I'm a different looking girl. Like I'm coming in, like I have a different look, like
right.
Yes, like so like one girl ended up being like, oh, I was just threatened by you. But I'm not gonna name the names, but they were pretty mean. One girl who was always amazingly nice to me there was Summer Rae.
Oh, okay.
She's a beautiful woman inside and out. Like, she, as soon as I came in, she was like, oh my God, like, I'll be your friend type thing, you know? Like, she was so amazing. But, like, the rest of the girls, oh my gosh, for like the first couple months, like, I wouldn't show it there because I'm like, no, I'm like a tough girl. And then I'd go home and I'd like break down. I was just like, these girls are mean. Like, what the? But, like, all the time, like, say, the girl was crying in the locker room, and I walked in. I was like, hey, you okay? She's like, I'm fine. Like, I like scream at me. I'm like, all right. And then like my stuff, like I keep it by the door, but then I end up getting moved. And it's just like, it's just silly stuff like that. Like they wouldn't talk to me. Uh-huh. And like, they like, I think I did something a little bit too hard in the ring. And then they were like, oh, it's because she's like trying to take you out and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm just a little bit rougher, I guess, than your average diva. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. The high school mentality.
Yeah, it was like
of
the high
wrestling.
School mean girls type thing. But then once they realized I wasn't going to take that, uh-huh. because every time they said something to me, like, I'd snap back. I'm like, no, I'm not going to take your, like, this is my job. Like, I'm not here to make friends anyway. So, like, F you, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Because you do come in, you know, like you said, pale skin,
yeah.
dark hair, big, you know, eye makeup,
yeah.
and that's your gimmick kind
that's
of thing.
My thing.
You know,
yeah.
the piercings. But I can see when you first come in, the same reason why you didn't get signed at first. Like, she doesn't look like a diva.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, you know, people get used to it. But the girls are like, I become really good friends with them all. So, like, mm-hmm. now, like, I still stay in contact with a couple of them, you know, others I don't. But, you know, like, you know, They're fine, and I look at, like, I don't like drama anyway, so any drama, like, I just try and stay out of it,
mm-hmm.
whatever happens.
Did like, you start finally making friends after some...
Yes, yeah. So always have some, like, the girls that I love, like, right now, who are my babes, are, like, Emma, Summer, April, even though she's trying to get a restraining order on me.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to keep the old gimmick
that
going.
Bitch.
And Bailey, like, she is my freaking girl. Like,
Bailey's in NXT right now.
Bailey's in NXT. Like, she's doing, like, this whole gimmick where she's, like, which is, like, her in real life. Like, she's not as, like, weird, but, like, she's, like, a huge wrestling fan. Like, massive wrestling fan all her life. And she finally became a wrestler, which her story is beautiful, by the way. Like, you should hear her story. But, and Emma's, too. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so, like, now she's doing this whole gimmick in a wrestling thing where she's, like, this super-duper wrestling fan who gets nervous and happy that she's wrestling these certain people, but she has, like, a mean streak. But it's, like, fantastic to watch, and she's
That's
incredible.
Cool.
Yeah, she's amazing wrestler, like, amazing person.
Was it hard at first when you started training? Because I'm sure you were way more advanced than probably all the girls because you had so much experience. But did you have some bad habits that you had to
yes.
unlearn?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Norman Spider would get so mad at me. He's like, you can't do that! Like, I have a lot of indie habits, like, mm-hmm. terrible ones. But then, yeah, and then they actually said to me one day, they were like, okay, like, we actually need to water you down.
In what way?
Like,
too many moves?
Yeah,
or?
Like, just, like, you have to come down to, like, a certain level to be in, like, a ring with someone. Mm-hmm. Like, so, not with everyone, but, like, you know, some girls who are just starting out, like, I'm trying to do all this kind of stuff. They're like, okay, you need to, like...
Adjust yourself.
Yeah, adjust yourself when you're in the ring with certain people. And that was, like, a bad habit because I'm like, no, they need to learn. Like, you know, I was like, okay.
I'll stretch them.
Yeah, but I'm like, okay, no, I need to help. So, yeah. Like, it went from, like, being, like, kind of dicky, like, come on, you should know this by now. How long have you been wrestling for? To, okay, no, I actually really need to help you. Like,
right.
And, like, now I love to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love to. Like, Summer, oh, my gosh, there was one time I was trying to teach her how to drop kick at mm-hmm. FCW. And I was like, get up and do it again, because my family would be like, get up and do it again, get up and do it. And we just have to do it over and over again. And, and she was literally like, stop making me do it, Rhea. And I'm like, no, you're going to do it. And then she nailed it, and it was fantastic. And now she's like a
just
great
the repetition.
Yeah. Like, same thing with, like, selling. Like, my mom and dad would be like, okay, you need to stand in the middle of the ring, close your eyes, and then you're just going to feel someone hit you, and you have to, like, sell it.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it enough to where you're like, ow. Like, but then, like, you knew how to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, I would do that with somebody.
Like, too. Method acting. They're really hitting you to make you sell it.
Yeah. So, like, my mom would slap me in the face, and I'd be like, oh, like that. And I'd, like, get a punch in the gut, and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, I'd be selling it, like, and it'd be the right way because I'm actually getting hit. But then, mm-hmm. like, no, I'm like, okay. Like,
now, when you're not getting hit, but do the same reaction.
Yeah. So, you know, you've been hit, you've been beating the crap out of, right? Now go out there and do it without touching someone.
How was the transition from the FCW kind of, you know, old school barn of a wrestling facility and then going to NXT, which was like this big, giant, amazing performance center?
Yeah, luckily I got to be in the performance center for about a year. So mm-hmm. like, but it's incredible. Like, so FCW I thought was amazing in the first place. So walking in, I'm like, wow, this is it. This is great. But it was so tiny. It had mm-hmm. three rings. The locker room, we could barely fit.
It'd be like 70, 80 people in there, right?
Yeah, you could not fit anyone. Like, mm-hmm. it was always hot. It was sticky. Like, it was just like day. It was like, it wasn't like great. So when Hunter built this performance center, it was just like, whoa, like, this is the WWE. Like, you walk in, you have like a gym, because usually we'd have to travel like 40 minutes to go to a gym so mm-hmm. we can work out or whatever. But we have a gym in there, we have like doctors, we have like promo rooms, which we did not have in FCW. Like, we'd have promo day, which is the most nerve-wracking experience of my life, by the way, because I never used to do them before I got here. But Yeah, and
so who did promo day?
Dusty Rhodes.
Oh.
So that was incredible, but he was like trying to feel me out at the start as well. So he would always make me, like, every time, every promo day, he'd be like, I'd do my promo, and then he'd make me go up at the end to do like an ad lib promo. Mm-hmm. Just be like, okay, here's a situation, go do it. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. And then he was like, okay, you're in love with Seth Rollins and stuff. And then he was like, okay, now Seth Rollins broke your heart and he took your toaster and stuff. And I'm like, and so I had to like just do these promos, but then he liked me because he said he was it.
But that worked because it now in this work. In this thing you're doing with AJ, there's a lot of promos. You've had more promo time over the last month than you've probably had your whole time here.
Yeah, the whole time. Right. Like it's crazy, and I'm really happy that they're trusting us with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one promo I was really nervous about doing was remembering the poem, because at first I was having a card, mm-hmm. and then they took it away from me. I'm like, nope, you have to remember this. And I'm like, that was the problem. But I'm very lucky, because without Dusty and him doing that to me, I'm like, no, I can do this. Like, I'm fine.
And that's what Triple H was saying when I had him on this show. He said that he tells people, if you don't make it, it's on you, because you're getting more than anybody else has ever gotten that made it. Like, you know, when I trained, I mean, it was talk about a dump, but there was no promo class. There was, you know, you sit in front of a camera and mess around. But you guys are getting a chance to really cut your teeth in all these different areas before you get to the big leagues.
Yeah, which is crazy, because, like, before I came here, I didn't have that either.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, like, 7 years of just wrestling.
So there's no promos in England, really?
No,
nothing.
Like, I didn't do a promo. Like, no. My dad would say, do something on the mic real quick. Like,
a challenge or something.
Yeah, like, nothing, like, serious like that. So, yeah, I never had that. So when I come here, I was like, wow, this is new. Like, we have so much. Like, they're teaching us so much. And it was a lot to take in at first, because they're giving you so much. So he's right. If you don't succeed, it's definitely on you, because we have everything at our fingertips that can make us into a star. But it's just, like, being wise and doing it.
Right,
smart,
right.
You know? But,
so you're training in FCW, then NXT.
Yeah.
Do you know when you're going to get called up? Is there like any, or you just have to be ready, like kind of like a doctor when the pager goes off, you got to go to the surgery type thing?
Yeah, like it was just kind of like last minute, like I got told like, okay, you're ready. So like they gave me the championship. Like I was the first time NXT Women's Champion, and they were like, okay, you're ready. Like we're going to build you. We're going to do this. So okay, like a year goes past, nothing happens. So I'm just like still training hard, still working hard. And I'm like, okay, you're going to come to WrestleMania Access. And I'm like, okay, great. That's fantastic. And I remember, like, I got worked so hard on that access this year. Like, Bill was like, some people, like, were late to come up, and Bill's like, okay, quickly go out there and have another match. For me and Charlotte, like, the crowd took to it so much. He was like, go out there and do another 5 minutes. I'm like, I lost my voice, like, because I was screaming so much. Like, I was like a mess. Like, I wrestled so much. I went and done sign-ins back to back. Like, you know, like.
Very busy.
Yeah, he worked me to the bone, which is great. So I had no idea anything was going to happen, like the day after WrestleMania, right? So then, like, I'm at Raw, and then we're in the ring, we're training a little bit, and then Sarah is the one that comes up to me, and she was like, hey, you're doing something today, and I'm like, oh, what did you just say? She's like, I don't know what it is, but something with AJ, maybe a promo. So I'm like, whoa, okay.
She's this like, is on Raw.
Yeah. So I was like sweating. My butt was sweating. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to faint. I'm going to throw up. But I go to my mom and dad. I was like, I texted them. I didn't tell them what it was. I was just like, I may be doing something today. I may be doing something today. Just watch Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. So they were like, okay, cool. And I was like, it's not guaranteed. But I didn't tell them what it was.
And of course they know that, because they're in the wrestling business.
Yeah,
nothing
so
ever
they're
guaranteed.
Just like, yeah, ever. My dad's always just like, don't get your hopes up. He's always like, don't get your hopes up, because you don't want them shattered, you know? So, I later on, Fit comes up to me, and it was literally like the doors were opening, and I still don't have like I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. And he was just like, he hands me like the promo, and he's just like, okay, and this is what's gonna happen today. And I was like, what? And I just broke down in tears.
And what was happening?
I was winning like the championship, right?
And your first night in.
I was like, really? He took rest time, and I was crying, and he was like, okay, you need to like chill out. Like, you need to stop. You need to calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not telling anyone yet. Like no one knows. Like, don't say anything to anyone. And I was like, oh. And he was like, clean yourself up. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like a mess. I'm like trying to like, and I'm walking around like, like, and I'm trying not to like sell anything.
And you knew Fit from back in England, right? He worked for you, or you'd seen him around, or not at all?
He was friends with my family.
Gotcha.
So like, I met Regal like when I was a babe, but
He knew your family.
Yeah,
though,
he was.
Right.
He knew my family. Gotcha. So he was friends with us.
So you can talk frankly with you. Clean yourself up.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like I remember, like when I first had like a tryout, and like he didn't like my looks. He was like, "You look like you need a good wash." And I'm like, "Thanks, man." And he always does this thing, like he doesn't care about like rolling around with the divas. Like he gets really stuck in. Like he treats us like the boys.
Yeah.
He always hits my head against something, like all the time. Even if we're on a friggin' plane or something like that, I'm like bent down and he's like smacked my head against like the against the armrest, and I'm like, fit. I walk past the ring, he like smacks my head against the rope, and I'm like, oh, like kick me in the face, like. But I love it. It's cool.
He knew you came up the right way. That's
yeah.
Right.
He's like
tough.
Really
you're a knight, damn it.
Yeah, but he's incredible. So
so you get the promo.
Yeah. So I do the reception, like. I was like, they're not supposed to know me. Like, I lost
because people were excited.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, you know, like, AJ's had this long reign, like, who, like, no one's ever beaten her before. Like, no one's beaten her. Like, she's the longest reigning diva in history or whatever.
She was the general manager.
She was the general manager. Yeah. She was with all these people. She did things with Cena. She did, like, everything. Mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan. Like, but yeah, so she was, like, it. She was the division. Mm-hmm. With the divas, like,
and
oh,
she
no.
was at that time, yeah.
She was the division. And you know what? She's, like, still is, along with the Bellas right now. Mm-hmm. Like, she's the division. So that was nerve-wracking. And she was always so sweet to me. She comes up to me and she was just like, okay, this is going to happen. And she was like, but I'm really happy it's you.
Oh,
and I'm
cool.
Like, thank you. I'm like, wow, you don't even have to say that. And she was like, okay, and we're going to do this, that, and the other. Like, tell me if you want it to be changed. But I really like the way you do your finisher. How about we do it like this? So I'm like, okay, cool, great. Yeah, like, that's fine. And Tamina was there, I guess, 2 minutes. And they were like the most helpful girls, like, mm-hmm. You know, like some people get bad reps and stuff like that, but they've been nothing but sweet to me. Like, they were like, no, we're just really happy it's you. Like, you got the great attitude, this, that, and the other. So I was like, oh. So we didn't go over anything. Like, she comes up to me, like, later on, she's like, okay, we're going to do this promo. You want to go over it real quick? And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, let's do it. And it was my first promo ever. It's my first day at the job. I'm winning the championship. So everyone's like flooding out. So I'm like trying to do it and I'm nervous. She'll be like, you'll be absolutely fine once you're out there, like breathe. And she was like, and even if you get the words wrong, you know what you're supposed to say, like just say anything, you know. So I'm like, okay, thank you. So yeah, when I went out there, the crowd were insane because day after Mania, we got a lot of Europeans, like
that's right,
a lot of British fans there. So
was that like, just this year?
Yeah. Like, so it's like I've only been up like 5 months. So yeah, so I did that. And the crowd were insane. And then I remember, like, Tamina being like, wow, I got goosebumps out there. Like, the crowd was so great. And then we got, like, a This Is Awesome chant before we even spoke to each other. We just stared at each other, like, and we had, like, that really cool chemistry and bond thing.
Yeah,
going on,
yeah,
where
yeah.
We were just like, we can read off each other. Like, I love working with her. She's incredible. So, yeah. And then we did that.
I remember you
then,
said, like, I'm not ready.
Yeah, I know. And I wasn't used to being, like, that character either. So in NXT, I was, like, this tough, like, I'm going to kick girls' heads in type thing.
Were
like,
you a heel there?
No, I was like a tweener. Like,
okay.
Because I love Stone Cold too much.
Gotcha.
So it was just like, I'm an ass kicker, but people like me because of it. But I'm also a heel. Like, so I'm like, I don't know what. But yeah, so yeah, I was like this anti-diva. Like, I was against everything diva. When I come up here, I'm just like, okay, you need to be like this.
Yeah. Demure and like, hello.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I'm not ready like that. And in my head, I'm like, I need to be sarcastic when I say it. I'm not ready, you know. But she like walked, like the whole time she's talking to me, she was like keeping me calm. She's like, okay, send me in. I'm like, cool. And then we do it. And then we hit the finisher, pin her, and it was like, boom, the whole crowd just explodes. Like, I'm like, oh my God. Like, it was incredible. And I like go out the ring and I'm like, I have the Divas Championship. And I'm like looking at it, like, what the hell? I have two championships at this point.
Right.
I'm like, I'm the first ever NXT Women's Champion. I won it on my debut, and I have two championships at the same time. So I'm like making history.
And you're 21 years old, the youngest ever champion in WWE history.
Yeah. So it's like, oh my God.
Women's, men's, midget, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh my God. Like, look at this. Like, what have I done? What have they done? Like, they had so much trust in me.
Mm-hmm. Great way to bring in a new talent, for sure, yeah. A new character.
Oh my God, seriously. But then, like, obviously after that, like, it was incredible. Like, I come backstage. You know, a lot of the girls were nice, but the thing is, like, I was happy that the girls that I love.
Your girls.
Like, yeah, they came to me first, and they hugged me. And I was, like, breaking down. I remember them filming it, and I swore. And I was like, they're not supposed to fucking know me, and they like me. And I'm crying. And Vince liked us so much, like, he used it in the package for like 3 months. And I'm like, does he realize I'm cussing in this? Well, he does now if he listens to this. I'm like cussing my brains out. But I was just like so emotional. And they were just like, he was so surprised. I guess a few people were so surprised the way I acted afterwards, just because like it just meant so much to me.
Right.
I'm like, doesn't everyone act like this? You know, like you get handed something like this and it's something that you like want. It's like a goal. It's like a dream. And then
I think it's because you'd been doing it for so long too. And yeah. Seeing your family and how they came up in the business. I mean, you knew how much it meant, where some, I think, don't quite get it.
They don't get it yet. But like, I like the girls that haven't done this before, but then they grew the passion for it, like Summer.
So sure.
If she ever gets it, she'll be exactly the same as me. She'd break down.
What did you call home instantly? Or?
Oh my gosh.
Because it was probably late at night there, right?
Yeah, but they were watching because I was just like, watch. And like, they were voxing me and WhatsApp, and they were crying their eyes out. They were like, I can't believe it. They lost it. So like, it was an emotional day. Like, and then next day I was doing all these interviews and stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is like, he was jumping. So yeah, I had to do all these interviews. I got to go on the tour. Like the first time I go back to England with WWE.
That's right. How was that?
Yeah. So the first time I go back to England with WWE, I'm the Divas Champion.
Wow.
Like I go back to this freaking London. I go back to London where I couldn't get signed. And now I'm there. Like with the Divas Championship, like I freaking did it, you know. My dad's standing with my brother next to the ramp. I'm walking out. The crowd was so amazing. Like I'm like, wow.
Now, did you do the whole tour?
Yeah.
What was the closest show to Norwich?
London.
Okay, London's the closest.
London. Yeah. So, So my brothers and my dad and stuff come to like a few shows though. Next time, like they're coming to like every show. But yeah, so they come backstage and everyone was so sweet to them. Like everyone here is like so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And like they saw that was my dad. So everyone just like introduced themselves. Like even like the biggest stars, you know, like even Cena goes up to him and he's like, hey, and then like Ryback and everyone's just incredible to my dad.
That's family. A show of respect to you too though.
Yeah.
You like, know what I mean?
It's like, I was like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to say hello to my family. But everyone was like so sweet and welcoming. And like my dad's like a manly man who's pretending not to cry next to the ramp when I'm making my entrance and stuff. But it was really frigging good. Like it was like a big thing for me because that was another goal that I wanted to reach.
Sure.
So yeah. So
such an amazing night. Like you said, your first night in at 21.
Yeah.
After all the stuff you'd been through and the journey that you'd taken.
And then my 22nd birthday, I went again. I'm like, what is this life?
You won
like,
it right before your birthday, right?
On my birthday.
On your birthday.
Yeah,
you won it on your birthday?
Yeah.
No way. That's great.
Yeah, for SummerSlam. And I had my friends in the crowd on that one. And I said nothing to my family this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like absolutely nothing. They knew I was on SummerSlam. But I didn't actually know. Like, they did it to me last minute again.
Mm-hmm.
It was always going to be AJ. Like, and then, like, last minute, like, AJ comes out to me, actually. And I'm like, get my makeup done. And she's just like, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, what? And then she's just like,
we're doing it again.
She was like, happy birthday. You get in the back. And I was like, what? And, like, I start, like, crying a little bit again. Because, like, it's not just because I'm, like, winning. It's, like, it's on my birthday. And it's just, like,
why SummerSlam.
It's SummerSlam. I'm like, this is huge. And why do they trust me so much with this? Like, mm-hmm. They must really like me. Like, so yeah, like it ended up getting like that, and I like lost my shit again. I'm like, oh, here we go again.
But
like,
this time you wanted it as a heel. The first time was obviously as a babyface.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer?
Heel. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah, with the babyface, like it's really hard. Like I'm a smiley person, like backstage or whatever. But when I go to, I can't smile. Like it's impossible for me to smile without looking like incredibly fake.
Mm-hmm.
So like I think like Vince kind of saw that too. He's just like, everything I was doing, he was like, you're heel. And I'm like, I don't know what to say. And then Arn would be like that. Like Johnny would be like, you work as a heel.
Yeah.
Where you move as heel. And I'm like, I know. So like,
were you always a heel in Europe or were you both?
I would do like heel most of the time.
Gotcha.
Like 3/4 of my career I've been heel.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was young, like young, when I had like a super baby face, they're like, oh, you need to be like,
you're 14.
Yeah.
You can't be menacing.
Yeah, no, exactly. So yeah, but now, like, I guess that the look goes with it, too. So, like, it helps. So when we got to do, like, I get to throw over the announce table, it was like, girls don't get to do that anymore. So we're just like, yeah, like, I push off the stage. Yeah, like, this is incredible. Like, I get to be a badass, you know?
Well, the reason why girls don't get to do that anymore, because there wasn't really any girls that were good enough to do that. Because if you don't do that right, it looks like your stuff looks good because you're trained properly. And AJ's stuff looks good. She was trained properly.
Yeah.
So it's a good mix. And you should be doing that stuff because it looks good. And people are invested into it.
She took everything like amazing. Like, I was like, are you okay taking this? She's like, yep, throw me. And like, she, like, this is all her. This is all her bump. So she's making me look fantastic. I pushed off the stage. Like, that's her bump. She makes me look fantastic there. So I'm just like, hey, just put me over, brother. Like she made all my stuff look great. So I'm like, I couldn't be happier. But, you know, like it swings around. But like, I'll do the same for her. Like I did the same for her. Like when she came back after 3 months, we did the same thing where she came and interrupted my promo. And then she rolled me up for the 1, 2, 3. And then she's the champion type thing. So Like, yeah, so we literally, like, we help each other out.
It's good having that that perfect chemistry that you have with another performer, you know?
Plus, we respect each other, and we like each other, too, so we want to help. Like, I'm always going to help someone out, even if I don't like them, mm-hmm, you know? Like,
professionally, it's business.
Yeah, it's business.
Right? In the ring, it's different from out of the ring.
Yeah, exactly. But with me and her, we like each other backstage and in the ring, so it's just like, even better, fireworks. Yeah. Yeah, it's like...
What's your favorite match that you've ever had?
Actually, it would be... last one would obviously be SummerSlam, just because it was such a, like, a big moment. But in WWE, it'd be me and Emma, and we had two championship matches, and it was on NXT, and it was one for the first to be the first ever NXT Women's Champion.
Mm-hmm.
It's my favorite match. And then there was another, which was the NXT Arrival, which is the first ever pay-per-view that NXT had on the WWE Network, and it was like the first show to go on the WWE Network live,
mm-hmm,
so it was like a huge deal. And then
who was that with?
Emma
also.
Yeah, so me and her had these two matches, mm-hmm, so those are like my favorite matches just because they're so memorable.
Sure.
And like me and Emma as well, we love wrestling, so we like had so much fun like in it. And then I had one with Natalia actually on NXT too, which was good. But
okay,
those are the ones that stood
how about in Europe, one that we've never seen before? Is there one that stands out somewhere?
You know what, like, I did matches with my mom all the time.
Oh, wow.
So anytime like I'd wrestle my mom, it would always be like amazing. Like, and the ones that always stand out, they're not even real wrestling matches. I'd be doing hardcore matches in Germany and stuff like that. But yeah, I'd wrestle like a lot of girls. Shimmer in America. I had like a really cool match with my mom. It was like, we did like a storyline for like Four Tape and Straight, mm-hmm, where...
This is in Shimmer?
Yeah, this is in Chicago. And we did this like this storyline where... I would keep losing, and then my mum would come out because we did like a tag thing, but I would have singles matches, but I'd lose the matches. So she'd come out, she'd berate me in front of everyone, embarrass me, and I'm like, Mom, please. And she's like, you're pathetic. And like, and we'd be booing her, and I'm like, Mom. And then like the third taping, I was against this girl called Jessie McKay, and she beat me again. So like my mom comes storming out, and she was like, you're a piece of shit, you're no daughter of mine, type thing, and like slaps her in the face. And then that's when I just like lose it. I'm just like, ugh. And then as she turns it back, I just like, boom. And then we get in like this massive brawl, which you can see on YouTube as well. It's like the Night Dynasty like is destroyed or something like that.
Mom and daughter.
Yeah. And then we literally like beat the crap out of each other. Like we are punching because we literally like, mm-hmm, like we're family, but we don't want anyone to think that we're holding back.
So yeah,
we
go that once extra again, it's mile. Business. Yeah,
yeah, we get that extra.
Oh, so
mile.
You go even tougher.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the amount of times I've like called it like the C bomb, and I'm like, and we get so angry at each other, like we beat the crap out of each other. But yeah, we did that, and then we had like this this street fight the next taping, and it was like the one that I was leaving to go to WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like that was kind of like a memorable thing. Like it was just like my okay, Celia Shimmer, bye yeah, wrestling world. I'm gonna go live
bye,
my
mom.
Dream now. Bye, mom. You know, she went on to become the champion there, so she was doing fine. But
yeah. Who's your favorite band?
Oh my god, I have tons of favorite bands.
I know.
Okay, so like old school, like I'm a big Skid Row fan.
I know you love Skid, yeah.
I do love it, Skid Row.
I'll have to tell Snake that. I talk to Snake. I'll tell Sebastian too. Sebastian won't care as much, but Snake will dig it. Snake's a wrestling fan.
I like lost my shit when they followed me on Twitter. But
when who yeah, did? Snake did?
When Skid Row did.
Oh, Skid Row did.
I was like, you followed so many people, but I'm so happy they followed me. I'm a big Stick to Your Guns fan. Like I've always been like really, really, really big fan of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I like simple stuff like a Day to Remember and Less Than Jake and like Off With Their Heads type thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I like a genre thing. I like Mumford and Sons, like City in Color, like Bon Iver. Like I don't
really
like,
eclectic.
Yeah, I like loads of different kind of stuff, but like. Yeah, I'd say like Stick to Your Guns and Skid Row is like my number one love.
Cool. And you came and saw Fozzy in Norwich at the Waterfront.
And I came and saw Fozzy. And you guys are great.
Oh, thank
very
you.
Very entertaining.
Oh, it's
very,
cool. Well, it's yeah, good to talk to you. Two-time yeah, Diva champ at 22 years old.
I know.
When you're 30, you'll have it like 10 times. 60, you'll be like the Ric Flair of Divas champs.
Yeah, I'll be like old and haggard. Like,
so you'll be so grizzled by
yeah,
then.
Yeah, I'm jaded. I'm like, fuck my life.
Thanks, Paige.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to two-time Divas champ Paige. She was an amazing guest, a very cool girl, good friend of mine. She loves Skid Row, youngest champion in WWE history. She was so excited to be on this show, and you guys were excited to have her. I've been getting so many requests. People were counting down the minutes until Paige was on the show. Now you got to see her. Hope you like it. If you did, hit me up at TalkIsJericho, at IamJericho, and she is Real Paige WWE on the Twitter. Let her know how she did and how much you enjoyed here on the show. She was amazing. Also, thanks to Ash the Fish Expert, my 11-year-old son, who's much smarter than I am. Man, when he said that the evidence that he heard the wind blowing in the video, and that's why he thinks that the that there might be something pushing that object through the water because the wind was blowing so fast, because you could hear it in the video camera. That was super smart. I couldn't believe that he thought of that. Very, very smart kid. Thank you for sending all the questions in to Ash. We'll have him back on the show in a couple weeks. So thanks to listening, and thanks to all you guys for downloading 2 podcasts every week, twice a week. Wouldn't be doing this if not for you listening, and also if not for my Sexy Beast sponsors who help us cover the production costs for doing both these shows. If you want to help support this show, the easiest way to do that is to do your online shopping through my Amazon links. Very easy to find. Go to podcastone.com. Click on the Keep Our Podcasts Free banner at the top of the page. Then click on the Talk is Jericho button. You'll see all 3 of my Amazon links. Amazon UK, Amazon USA, and Amazon Canada. Every time you do that, Amazon kicks back some cash to the show so we can keep doing this for you for free twice a week. No extra fees or hidden charges. You're just getting your shopping done, and you're helping me out in the process. All right, that's it. Another exciting, fun-filled edition of Talk is Jericho. I'll see you next week, but in the meantime, and in between time, stay hungry, stay hard, peace, love, and hugs. And next week on the show, it's a double shot of Rock and Roll Hall of Famer and one of the most iconic, influential guitar players of all time. Yeah, my good friend, the man in the top hat, Slash, is going to be here. And let me say this, we're talking about horror movies and dinosaurs and Slash's new band and Miles Kennedy, and we're talking about Guns N' Roses. And when it's done, Slash said, this is one of the best interviews I've ever done in my career. Slash and Jericho together again next week. And remember, yeah, boy!
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.